Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. With Heart to Heart, here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm so happy to be back. I had a wonderful week up in New York last week. I was up at Lilydale, and I had a great class and always meeting such wonderful new people. So had a great week. So I hope everybody here had a great week, too, because the weather has been gorgeous. Can you believe it's almost September? I can't believe it. But it's so nice out. So anyway, I'm excited this morning. I have a wonderful show for everybody. And this morning, once again, we are focusing on the human spirit. And my guest this morning, Dr. Maria Broderick, is the founder and director of Reservoir Family Wellness, LLC, located in the Boston area. Reservoir Family Wellness serves families with an integrative approach to wellness, utilizing acupuncture, qigong, and herbal medicine. Maria is a state-licensed practitioner of acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine in Massachusetts. She holds a master's degree in Oriental medicine from the New England School of Acupuncture and a doctoral degree in human development and psychology from Harvard University. Dr. Broderick is a member of the clinical faculty of the New England School of Acupuncture, where she supervises acupuncture interns in the pediatric unit at Boston Medical Center. Dr. Broderick has conducted research on the efficacy of holistic approaches to promoting health and well-being at Harvard's Mind-Body Medical Institute, at Boston Area Hospitals and Research Centers, and at the Harvard Graduate School of Education, where she was appointed a postdoctoral fellow and served on the faculty as lecturer in education. So, good morning, Maria.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks so much for having me.
That is quite an impressive credentials that you have, and I love that with all of that behind you, you are such a warm and down-to-earth person.
Thank you.
I'm sure that serves you well with working with families and with children.
Well, I would say that it's probably the opposite, that the kids really, kind of touch your heart, and so you can't really put on any kinds of airs with children. They don't take too well to that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, they see through that stuff anyway, don't they?
They sure do.
So I know this morning I'm very excited because you've been doing some really groundbreaking work with autism, and I'm sure many people in this area have autistic kids in the family and or know somebody or have just bumped into friends with that. It seems like it's really been something that has been growing more, that we're hearing more about it, and at least I think we're understanding more about it now.
Yes, on both counts, certainly the prevalence of autism is growing. It's actually skyrocketing. You could say it's even a bit of an epidemic. The increase in cases of children on the autistic spectrum has grown about tenfold in the last 20 years. And awareness is also growing. Many more parents are now given early intervention for their children on the autistic spectrum. Pediatricians are noticing it sooner with better diagnostic techniques. And the range of kids on the spectrum who are qualified under an autism diagnosis has also expanded with some new changes to the way that the condition is diagnosed. So it really is a growing, growing concern.
Yeah, because there's such a wide range in symptoms and you know, how they respond to that, that I'm sure it's difficult to make that diagnosis.
Yes, it's what we call a spectrum disorder, which means that the same diagnosis can be given to a child with fairly mild symptoms or very severe symptoms. It's the same disorder, but it presents in a variety of ways. And there are some good work actually now that helps diagnose it earlier. There's even some signs, physical signs in infancy that can give you a sense that the child might be on the path to an autistic diagnosis, and so pediatricians are more alert to what to look for even in very young children.
Yeah, that just amazes me that even as an infant that you can, you know, sort of tell something's up and get a feel for where they might be headed.
That's right. Exactly.
And what I love about your work, Maria, is that it gives parents and caregivers a more natural, drug-free approach to solutions for autism.
Yes. So the approach that I use is called Qigong massage for autism, and it comes from the field of pediatric Chinese medicine. So it has deep roots in a tradition that goes back thousands of years. And this particular massage was sort of, you could say, rediscovered by Dr. Louisa Silva, who's a MD on the West Coast, based in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And she also practices Chinese medicine as well as Western medicine. And she looked with her colleague, Sylvia Signioli, at the ancient medical text that described forms of pediatric massage that help children with symptoms in the text that are similar to what we understand as autism today. And the massage is very simple. It can be learned by parents and delivered at home, or it can be supported by a provider such as myself who's been trained in the program. It can be delivered in 15 minutes on a daily basis, and children respond very, very well to it.
Wow, and that's such a short amount of time. To be able to do something that's so beneficial for your child.
Yes, parents are encouraged to deliver the 15-minute massage for at least a five-month period, which is all the research is based on kids receiving the massage daily over 5 months. But Louisa and her team are now looking at longer-term effects if the massage is delivered for an even longer period of time, somewhere between 5 months and 2 years. But it does. It pays some terrific benefits. Children who have had the massage on a regular basis sleep better, their digestion improves, their mood becomes more even. Some children begin to develop language who are delayed in language. most importantly, though, their sensory symptoms improve. So many, many children with autism are sensitive to touch. They're averse to certain kinds of textures. They are sensitive to light and sound, and all of those sensitivities make it very hard for them to cope with, you know, just the activities of daily life. This massage regulates those sensory symptoms and systems and helps the children then become better regulated, which makes an enormous difference to their ability to learn, feel comfortable in their skin, and relate to their families.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you talk about that sensory, I actually have a cousin and her child. I don't know if she's actually been diagnosed autistic, but she is terribly sensitive to a lot of things and smells.
Yes, that's right. Smells is smells. All the senses can be affected. Children can be oversensitive to smells, tastes, as well as light and sound.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, we're here near the Baltimore area and hard-shell crabs is a big delicacy in our region, and she could not just take the smell of those crabs anywhere in the house. It just totally upset her.
Yeah, and then it makes it really hard for the child to go out in the world, to go to school, to play with friends. I mean, all those normal social interactions are compromised when they're so sensitive.
Yeah, and because, you know, you think, I'm sure a lot of people think, oh, that's silly. You know, how can they be sensitive to light, or how can that smell bother them that much? You know, and they don't understand how it truly is affecting them.
Well, and it also is very important to understand that these children are very sensitive to not just touch in the sense of their parents holding their hands or hugging them, but can be overly sensitive to things that are important for just maintenance of health, including simple things like clipping their nails or getting a haircut. They're so sensitive to being touched that those kinds of daily activities are very challenging for them. It makes it very tough for parents to just maintain basic wellness for their children.
Boy, I hadn't thought about that. It's just simple things like that. I think about things like that when it comes to my dogs, you know, how they're so sensitive to, you know, having their nails trimmed and things like that. But, you know, and you would think about that with children. I mean, I'm thinking even just maybe even brushing your teeth and putting something, you know, doing things like that.
Brushing your teeth, brushing your hair, and also many of these kids are sensitive to certain kinds of clothing, whether it be too tight, too loose. They experience it as uncomfortable to wear, too itchy, can't, you know, be settled when they have a tag that butts up against their neck or skin. So it you know, it does really impact.
Yeah. I can relate to some of those. Definitely, because, you know, I mean, we all have a little sensitivity to things like that, you know, certain fabrics, you know, that really just don't, you know, bode well with your body, you know, and like for me, you know, a certain, you know, synthetic fabrics, you know, really bother me. And so I can imagine how this is for kids that are ultra sensitive to things like that.
Well, and you raise a good point, because you can have these sensory sensitivities and certainly not have an autism diagnosis, but it's almost always the case that if a child does have an autism diagnosis, some subset of those symptoms are present and make it very, very hard for the child to have a normal life. And those sensory symptoms tend to go along with what we call self-regulation problems. So those include, in the first year of life, difficulty settling down to sleep, problems with just eating and digestion, being able to soothe a young child that can't soothe him or herself, then can't really regulate their emotions. So when babies have these sensory symptoms, those other self-regulation symptoms don't develop normally. And then you get a toddler that can't settle down, sleep, eat well, and that compromises a whole range of other sorts of developmental milestones.
Yeah. So, Maria, so if you're able to start this type of massage when they're infants, does that sort of short-circuit some of those future problems?
Well, you know, Dr. Silva is actually currently doing some research with delivering the massage to babies. And the early indications from some preliminary findings from that research suggest that, yes, it can be a well-timed intervention for autism. I think the, you know, the jury's still out on how that those findings will unfold. But not only in the field of Qigong massage for autism, but in the entire field of infant massage, we see a lot of evidence that the more that babies are touched in a sensitive way that's, you know, specific to the way they experience touch, the better they develop. And children that have other kinds of concerns, like attachment issues, the massage can really be a very important intervention. In fact, there's a whole field of research on infant massage that notes that children who are not touched, for example, it turns out that children in France are held, hugged, massaged much more regularly than our American children, and their incidence of some of these developmental disabilities is lower. So
that's amazing.
Really
do, yeah, I know
really
they had
to hold our babies.
Yeah, I know they had done studies about infants and children who were raised in orphanages and who didn't get as much, you know, interaction with other people and humans, and, you know, that they've tried to do more things with people touching and holding babies in those situations. But isn't that interesting as a culture?
Well, you know, you think about just the typical habits of parents today. First of all, we all put our small children in a stroller and wheel them around, whereas, you know, even 50 years ago, you would hold your baby and carry your baby. We put our babies in car seats, which, of course, is critical for their safety, but quite different than, you know, your mom sitting in the back seat holding you in her arms. Parents used to co-sleep with their children, and in many cultures still do. In our culture, that's, you know, there's a fair amount of controversy about, you know, sleeping with the baby in the bed. So just some common opportunities for skin-to-skin bonding and touch that we used to be part of child-rearing have been diminished a little bit by all the tools and...
right, right, the advances. But it's true. It's, you know, it's like, so, you know, as with lots of things, sometimes we understand now the value of the old ways better than we did.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, we've been using the word Qigong massage, but tell us a little bit about what is Qigong?
Well, Qigong basically means energy moving, and it comes from the roots of Chinese medicine. Qigong was the first Chinese medical modality, and there are a few forms of it. The most basic and familiar form is personal Qigong, and that's the cultivation of your own energy, and it is done in China. Thousands of people get up every morning, go to the parks, and do Qigong for self-cultivation. And what it looks like in action is a series of slow, focused movements accompanied by breathing. And when you do Qigong for self-cultivation, you strengthen your overall energy, you reduce you strengthen your immunity and reduce your susceptibility to disease.
Mm-hmm.
And you also can elongate your life. You can, you're more vital, so you live longer. So as a practice that a person undertakes to strengthen their own health, it can be terrific.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've all seen those pictures of all these people in China out in a public park doing these movements together. It's actually beautiful to see.
It is. It's like a ballet.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Go out to the park in the morning and do the Qigong.
And I love that it doesn't matter how old they are. They do it their whole life. So you can see young people and people in their 80s and 90s, and they still get up and they are doing their Qigong.
Well, part of the reason they can still get up and get out in the park in the morning is because they do that regular Qigong practice. It really, there's a lot of research that shows that that self-cultivation Qigong, the personal Qigong, can really make a huge difference in your health. But then there are other forms of Qigong, which are sort of medical Qigong or healing Qigong. There are different terms for it. And that's Qigong that's incorporated into a healthcare practice that's typically delivered by a provider, such as an acupuncturist. And that Qigong uses also the body's energy on behalf of supporting the health or recovery of another person. And it is directed to the channels or meridians, the acupuncture meridians in the body. And in the form of Qigong massage, it basically means using touch to move energy through the body. And in China, in pediatric Chinese medicine, forms of Qigong massage and Cui Na are used to strengthen the immune systems of children and help them recover from injury or disease. And so this massage comes from that tradition of Qigong.
Right. So now, does that mean when you're doing the massage, it's actually utilizing the meridians?
It does mean that. So there are 12 movements in the massage. And they're readily taught, but they do follow the path of the meridians. So the first three movements focus on meridians that go from the top of the head, down the back, and down the legs. There's another set of movements that focus on the chest and arms and hands, and a final set of movements that focus on the meridians that run through the legs and feet, and all together as a set, the massage essentially balances the whole system by following the path of those meridians, stimulating them or filling them where they're deficient in energy, and being responsive to the energy of the child in doing the massage as well.
My guest this morning is Dr. Maria Broderick. She's the founder and director of Reservoir Family Wellness. And they serve families with an integrative approach to wellness, utilizing acupuncture, Qigong, and herbal medicine. And we've been talking about Maria's wonderful work using Qigong massage for autism. And Dr. Broderick, you say that parents can give the massage to their kids. We're talking that it takes about 15 minutes a day. And is it hard to learn?
Well, one of the most beautiful and empowering things about this massage is that it's easy to learn and you don't even need to attend a class. So Dr. Silva, in her effort to make public health outreach with this program has published a book. It's called Qigong Massage for Your Child with Autism. It's available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can get it at any bookseller, and it includes an instructional DVD and a kind of tip sheet for remembering the 12 movements. And if you read the book and watch the DVD, you'll be quite capable of delivering the massage at home. And there are also a number of videos on her website, www.qsti.org, which stands for Qigong Sensory Training Institute, which is in Oregon, that show children receiving the massage. And you can also see video of parents talking about how they deliver it. The one thing I will say, though, is that if your child is fairly severe on the spectrum and has a lot of resistance to touch, you might need the support of a provider who's been trained in the massage to help you get through those first weeks where the child's resisting the application of the massage. But for the most part, parents can learn on their own and deliver the massage to their kids safely and comfortably.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, you know how kids like to mimic things their parents do, and they like to help their siblings. So yeah. I'm wondering, have other kids in the family learned to do the massage as well?
Well, not only have other kids learned to do it, and there's some pretty touching video of siblings helping their parents deliver the massage to their sibs with autism, but it's really actually recommended that you get as many family members involved as you can. And Dr. Silva encourages, you know, certainly if it's a two-parent household, both parents to learn, but also grandparents, siblings. The more support that can be given to the child, the better. The more energy that can be sort of collectively cultivated, the better. And if you have a number of folks in the household who know the massage, then if one person is sick or a little run down, the others can deliver it without missing a beat. So, yes, absolutely, sibs can learn.
Yeah, and I like the idea that they are actually getting different energy from different people.
Well, one of the more interesting features of delivering the massage is, you know, it's often moms that hear about it, learn it, deliver it. But if there is a dad in the household, that energy is especially good for kids because it's what we call more yang. Mm-hmm. It has a different kind of quality to it, and often these kids really need the energy of the young dad that can help settle them. We really encourage dads to learn and participate.
So I'm going to assume that if you're having a bad day or you're upset about something, you're not the person who should be doing this for your child at that time.
Well, that's very insightful, Jackie, and absolutely true. So if you are sick, first of all, you shouldn't deliver the massage. If your child is sick with a bad cold or something, you should wait a few days. But if you're irritable, angry, upset, it's also better not to deliver the massage because, you know, given that it is based on this, you know, most essential idea that you're providing loving energy to your child, if you're not feeling that loving energy flowing,
yeah,
probably best to hold off.
Yeah. And not to confuse things, but knowing that it's using the meridians, I know that you can actually impact your meridians without actually touching the body, but just moving the hand over the meridians. Is that used sometimes for some of these kids that are so sensitive to touch?
Well, there is a kind of Qigong that's called external Qigong or healing Qigong, where a Qigong master will use that kind of directed energy. But in this massage, for kids that are sensitive to touch, we actually adjust the movement with either providing deep pressure or a faster tapping motion. So there's not a version of this particular massage that's hands-off and more vibrational.
Okay, all right. So just a question that sort of broadens this discussion a little bit, but what other issues have you found respond well to Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and Qigong?
Well, just staying with the Qigong massage for a moment, Dr. Silva has also developed a version of the massage for children with cerebral palsy and children with Down syndrome.
So wonderful.
That research is starting to come out now. There'll be a case study on the kids with cerebral palsy being published pretty soon. So it definitely is something to put in your toolkit as a parent to help your children with those developmental disabilities. But Chinese medicine more broadly is being really adopted in pediatric medicine. I treat kids in my practice with a wide range of conditions, including allergies, asthma, ADHD, pain, anxiety. I do, as you mentioned, work at a Boston area hospital, and we treat children with sickle cell disease. We treat children who are recovering from surgery. Depending on the age of the child and the condition, we might use acupuncture. That's usually for older children, but we also use different forms of massage and herbal medicine to help the kids with these conditions.
Yeah, and for people who cringe when they hear acupuncture and think about needles, I have to tell everybody, you know, I've gotten acupuncture many, many times, and it's very beneficial to me, and you really don't really feel it. I mean, people who are really good at it, you know, it's like you just don't feel it, and it's just so beneficial. So,
and there are special techniques for kids using tools that we call non-insertive, where they stimulate the points, but you don't actually put a needle in. So for kids, there's even a broader sort of range of solutions.
I love that. Yeah. Is that your acupressure?
Well, it's similar to acupressure, but we use these tools. They're called Shonishin. They look like tiny little garden tools, to be honest. And you just use them against the point to stimulate the chi flow.
Okay. All right, so let's tell people, because we're not in the Boston area, and we can't come to you, which would be ideal.
Right.
How can people find a provider in their area for these types of modalities, and how will they know it's a qualified person? What should they look for? What are good questions to ask?
Well, I would recommend that, first off, if you want to try to get some support for the Qigong massage, if you do have a child with autism, then buy the book. But there are providers who are based in Oregon who will support you via coaching online if you have some questions, need some help. So that's available to you. If you're looking for a pediatric acupuncturist, then go to the American Acupuncture Council website and look at their list of providers. And then in terms of your interview process with your acupuncturist, first check that they've actually had training in pediatric acupuncture, pediatric Chinese medicine, that they see a range of children, and that they have a range of solutions for working with your child if your child is fearful of acupuncture or would respond more appropriately to massage or another technique.
Yeah, absolutely. And just in general, when you're going to somebody for acupuncture, what's like the most basic question you need to ask, you know, to make sure that they are actually qualified to do this?
Well, it varies state by state, but all acupuncturists have to be licensed in the state. And, you know, the form of licensure depends on the state. But in Massachusetts, for example, we're licensed by the Board of Medicine. So your acupuncturist needs to be graduated from an accredited acupuncture college, hold a license to be a healthcare provider in your state, and be credentialed with the National Council of Oriental Medicine. Those are the sort of fundamental criteria.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm glad you shared that, because sometimes people, when they're looking at something that is new to them, they're not exactly sure, you know, even what they should be looking for.
Yes, and I think it's important to know that an acupuncturist has to go to graduate school for 3 to 4 years, usually has at least 1,000 hours of clinically supervised training before they treat the first patient in their own practice, is licensed by the Board of Medicine, and has to continue to do ongoing training all through their life as a professional. So it's a really rigorous program. You can't be licensed as an acupuncturist unless you've gone through such a program. And, you know, they're one of the more well-trained alternative providers.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Maria, because I'd like people to know that it's just this isn't fly-by-your-seat-of-your-pants type stuff. You can't
right.
just hang up a shingle outside your door and start, you know, putting needles in people.
That's right. That would be That would be tragic.
Yeah, it really is a rigorous program, and I'm glad that people, you know, really take that seriously. So once again, because we're getting really close to the wire here for our time with you, can you give us the name of that book again?
Yes, it's called Qigong Massage for Autism. It's by Dr. Louisa Silva, S-I-L-V-A. It is available on Amazon and in most bookstores. And also to learn more about the program and the research behind it, you can visit Dr. Silva's website, which is www.qsti.org.
And Maria, if people had questions, could they give you a call?
Of course they could, absolutely. They can reach me at my clinic, Reservoir Family Wellness, and the number there is 978-877-6630. We're based outside of Boston.
Please, I encourage people to take her up on her offer to answer your questions and to call her directly at Reservoir Family Wellness. She is such a fabulous resource and has so much background and experience with these modalities and with children and autism. So please take advantage of that. And I wanted to just take a moment to let everybody know that I'm going to be at Women for Women coming up next week, September 3rd, at their meeting at the YWCA in Hanover. And that's on 23 West Chestnut Street. And I'm going to be the presenter that evening. So we're going to talk a little bit about my work as a medium and also as an animal communicator. And I'll be doing a free group reading. So if you've been interested in mediumship and psychic messages, come on out. You can RSVP to Kim Goff. And please go to her email. It's kim@goffweb1.com. That's kim@goffweb1.com. And come on out and join us. It's going to be a fun evening and starts at 6:30, and that's September 3rd. So please, please come out. We're going to have a fun night. And it's always great to get a free reading. Also, let everybody know that you can get a hold of me. I have offices in Hanover and York. And my number is 717-968-5289. Or visit my website, www.jacquelebeau.com, JACQUILEBEAU.com. Okay. All right. So, always remind people that I take questions, and you can give me a call. And if you'd like to send me your questions privately, you can go to email for me, jal@jacquelebeau.com, or text me at 717-968-5289. And we can answer them next week on the air. So that's another way to get your answers without being on the air, which is really easy to do. So, you know, don't hesitate to call in. We love to hear from our listeners.
That's
okay.
It?
That might be all I have this morning.
You've got a minute left. So if you'd like to say something else, feel free.
Well, all right. I will then. You know, I love sharing different perspectives from my guests, and I hope that you all enjoyed hearing from Dr. Maria Broderick this morning. I find the work that she is doing with children just fascinating. And she is such a warm and loving person. I wish she wasn't in Boston and she was right here so we could all take advantage of that. But I'm sure there are people in our area, too, that can provide the same type of modalities and give you the help that you need with your kids that are dealing with similar issues. So I'm hoping that it opens some eyes this morning to other modalities out there and other ways that are more natural and more drug-free for working with children when we can. Okay, so come back next week. We'll be on next Tuesday. See you then.
Okay. Jacque LeBeau and Heart to Heart has been brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services on Real Country 1280 WHVR.